Down the Dump Podcast.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday, May 4th, and the Thunder just finished defeating the Grizzlies and are moving on to round two. I'm here with Andrew Schlecht and Jay Smith. I'm Luke Stevens. Let's talk about it, guys.
It's VG Day, Victory Over the Grizzlies Day. I'm glad that series is behind us.
Yeah.
That series brought up a lot of emotions just within this group.
Oh, so many.
This was hard.
I think both of you had written our boys off.
I did. I wrote them off. I predicted the Grizzlies to win game six.
I did as well.
I didn't think.
Are you trying to tell me you had faith the whole time?
I'm saying I wasn't like, it's over. It's over. I was scared. But I was never, you know, this has been the first round for all of these Western Conference teams have been nuts.
I thought the Clippers were going to lose last night, too. They were getting beat for three-fourths of the game and then just ended up kind of putting it together. But it has. We are Damian Lillard three-pointer at the buzzer away from every single Western Conference game going to seven.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's so crazy. I've never heard of anything like this ever.
Ever.
In the first round. It's unprecedented. It's been just phenomenal basketball. Just to be able to watch these teams compete at such a high level, and every team compete at a high level. You know, there's usually several sweeps and lots of gentlemen sweeps in the first round, but seeing everybody come out and compete and no one really having just a clear edge except for the Heat over the Bobcats, it's been really fun.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it a lot.
But back to the Thunder. The Thunder put it together, guys. Except for, you know, the mid-first quarter through the mid-second quarter where Marc Gasol looks like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. except for that, I mean, the Thunder have really put it together. Defensively, they put it together. Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook look like they have figured it out a little bit as far as, you know, doing the things that they should do and not taking as many threes and... Durant just looks like himself again. You know, Durant had a good game last night. He didn't have a game that was just crazy good. You know, he was 12 for 18 for 33 points, which is just kind of your typical Kevin Durant basketball game. And he was back. And that was really good to see. He was the one thing that was outstanding is that he was 5 for 5 from 3. Other than that, I didn't see it as a really special game. The guy who I did see a special game from was Russell Westbrook.
Absolutely.
Jay, talk a little bit about Russ's game last night.
Russ, you know, it's hard for Russ because he's evaluated, and Coach Yeager from the Grizzlies even talked about it. It's like the people that think that this guy is in trouble or is trouble are crazy because last night he ended up having 7 assists, or 16 assists, and he had 7 turnovers, and the natural ebb and flow of who Russell Westbrook is, people always harp on those turnovers and not about the fact that he still had a +9 assist ratio over those turnovers. He made decisions that were absolutely beautiful. A couple of them just to stick out. And he also tried some of what he was doing last night was he tried a little too hard, I think, to incorporate everybody else at times, which is crazy for a point guard. But this shoot-first point guard had numerous times where he penetrated a lane where earlier in the series he would go directly up into a jump shot and then found the extra pass and hit some. And they also were making shots, which is also very helpful for a point guard. And he just was in control of the game. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, but yesterday I was reading on Twitter, and they said that if Russell Westbrook plays – oh, it was Tim Legler – said if Russell Westbrook plays like this, they can be the best team in the NBA. And I think you see that a little bit right now, to be honest, because Brian Windhorst from ESPN.com wrote an article last night kind of in response, or maybe this morning, talking about that nobody in the first round clearly identified themselves as a contender except for the Thunder in these last two games. And it is. I mean, three out of the four games that they beat the Grizzlies, they beat them by double digits, especially these last two. Game six was by far the most impressive of all of them. And game seven was just what kind of we maybe felt coming a little bit. They just executed perfectly in the second half.
Yeah, no doubt. And some of those turnovers were in the first half. They kept trying to get the ball to Steven Adams, which was kind of surprising to me, like on a pick and roll, and the Grizzlies kept picking it off. And I feel like that happened like three or four times in the span of like 5 minutes. But his turnovers weren't him making dumb plays. It was him trying to get his teammates involved, and they were still playing the second best defense in the entire NBA. Yeah. So things like that are going to happen. But Russ was incredible last night. Another guy that played really well, he didn't particularly shoot the ball well, was Caron Butler. His impact was felt again for this team. He's another guy who got to the free throw line. He went 8 for 9 from the free throw line and created a lot of offense for this team that really needs that. And him in the starting lineup has really worked. And I see him starting going forward. And, you know, I do see Thabo maybe getting some time against the Clippers because I think he has more use because they do have lots of really good perimeter scores, which the Grizzlies lack. But I see Caron kind of taking over that starting spot, and he seems to have taken to that, and his confidence level seems to be up as well. What have you guys seen from Caron these last two games?
I just like that we're willing to make a change in our starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like a year ago, 2 years ago, you wouldn't see that big of a change.
2 games ago.
Yeah. I just don't think you'd feel that – you'd see that change. And, like, Steven Adams, like, even I feel like had a really big defensive impact in these past 2 games. And that's a guy who didn't play in the first half of the series.
Yeah.
And he played
25 minutes last night.
Yeah. And, I think he's playing really well and doing things that we need him to do. And just the fact that we're willing now to make – yes, it took, you know, losing 3 games, but – hopefully it won't take that going forward. Now we're seeing like we have to make those changes if we're going to be successful. And it was a positive thing to see. And I was afraid we were never going to see it just stick to what we thought was working before, which obviously wasn't.
Yeah. I think Brooks has probably coached his best 2 games in game 6 and 7 of maybe his entire career as a Thunder coach.
I will say one of the things that, and Darnell Mayberry posted this tweet last night as far as the press conferences, is you can see in Durant, and this should be terrifying for the rest of the league, but you could see in the whole team that weight lifted off of them. They're back to having fun, playing basketball. They're flying up and down the court. And they won't play another team that plays like the Grizzlies. Clippers don't play very good defense, and whether or not they play Portland or San Antonio, they've proven, or Dallas, whoever wins that San Antonio-Dallas game, they've proven in both of those that none of those teams left had the ability to slow down the Thunder on offense like the Grizzlies can. And so you're going to see some good basketball, I think, in this Clippers series. Now, I'm not saying they're going to sweep them or anything, but what I do see is the fact that I think that the Thunder are in great shape heading out of this series and into the next one.
Yeah, agreed. And Serge Ibaka, his presence will be felt in this Clippers series as it was against the Grizzlies. I think he kind of had maybe the most consistent series of anybody, but it was very quietly. I feel like a lot of people didn't talk about him.
He's the quietest. It was the quietest great series I've seen from the Thunder. If Reggie Jackson had created the series that Serge did in that Grizzly series, I feel like we would have been talking about it incessantly, but it wasn't. Serge had double-digit points every game. He was affecting every shot, rebounding well and defending pretty well, which was good.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson, going back to him, has shot the ball really well in the last 3 games. He went 2 of 3 from three. His three-point shot has been looking really good lately, and I've almost expected it to go in, which is weird because he hasn't historically been a very good three-point shooter. So that's nice to see. I don't know if that can be sustained or not. But the Thunder are ready. They're ready to move on to the second round, and I think that they are probably excited to play a team that actually kind of plays a similar style of basketball to the Thunder, where they're able to get up and down the court. And I think that the Clippers are going to give him some trouble. I do.
I have a question. Would you rather see them play the Clippers as opposed to Golden State?
I don't know. I think both teams pose similar problems, but I think that maybe the better matchup for the Thunder is the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think Brooks is willing to go as small as he would need to for the whole game against Golden State. Just because, I mean, Golden State, they have no choice. They have no Andrew Bogut. So they would have had to play a lot more small ball, and I don't know if Brooks would have done that or not. But I think that the Clippers matchup is better just because it allows the Thunder to play
to Perkins can actually be on the floor.
Or play to their strengths where they can play with two big men on the floor at all times, because that's what Brooks likes to do anyways, and it will be needed.
Yeah, and I think the biggest question mark, and I know we're not really talking too much about the series, even though it is tomorrow, but because the last time we saw the Thunder play a team that can shoot well from the outside, they couldn't protect the perimeter, right? Like teams were scoring at will, you know, minus that Clippers game, which was actually in LA where they did defend it pretty well. But it'll be good to see whether or not that's a real thing or if that is a
lazy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've got the Brooklyn game on, and Brooklyn is up 1 with 6 seconds left, and they just got the ball off a terrible inbound pass from the Brooklyn.
Oh, the Raptors have the ball?
Yeah, Raptors have the ball down 1 with 6 seconds left. Toronto is going crazy. There's, like, people outside screaming and running around. Kevin Garnett looks psychotic.
Tell us the outcome whenever it
happens. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Kevin Garnett gave a great little interview about not letting the Raptors win at their home in New York. It was phenomenal. Great Kevin Garnett moment.
Garnett's a fantastic interview. Let's go to some Twitter questions real quick.
Let's do it.
This one is from A Vincat 10, our homie. I think Butler should start every playoff game from here on. Could he be the consistent third scorer? So this has kind of been the question from lots of people, is who is the third scorer? And I think that Butler can provide that. I don't know that he'll provide it every game. I think that Reggie Jackson needs to be that guy. But to have a guy that can step up and score 15 in a game, you know, pretty easily, and not just by shooting the ball, but getting to the free throw line and making plays, I think is really key for this team. I think Caron Butler, the movement for him to the starting lineup is absolutely key to this team winning. Just because Tavo Cefalosha he has no confidence on the offensive end. I mean, just none. And, you know, he still plays good defense, but you can't have two guys that are only playing on one side of the ball with him and Perk on the floor. It's proven to be one of the worst lineups for the Thunder, and I think changing it up helps. And even, I think, bringing Tabo off the bench in this Clippers series may be a good thing. So as far as him being the third scorer, I still think that is going to go to Serge Ibaka or Reggie Jackson. But to have a guy who can score in double digits without blinking is what the Thunder have needed for a long time.
So Brooklyn won. Sorry, just to jump in. They won 104-103. There's about 75 fouls on the last play, and Brooklyn just got away with all of them. I mean, Kyle Lowry just got mugged going to the basket, and nobody called anything. Paul Pierce is acting like he just won the championship.
Now they get to play the Heat. Congratulations, Brooklyn.
Good job. However, they beat them every time in the regular season.
And we'll see them get stomped by the Heat, I think.
Five?
Yeah,
I mean, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. The block was clean at the end, but good God, he got beat up. You know, I don't know about Caron Butler. Like, I thought he had a way better game than statistics showed. Like, he ended up being, I think, 3 of 9 or 3 of 10 from the field. 10,
yeah.
But there's just something about it. And he doesn't seem to give up much defensively. And we've talked about this in the past before. Is there's eventually going to be a point where Kevin Durant needs to be the defender, right?
Yep.
And Russell Westbrook needs to be the defender. You don't have to have a defensive specialist on the court if Durant and Russ do their job. And so I think Caron being out there, it's different because for the first time, you know, you remember when James Harden came out and started in the starting five, like it just was weird and it didn't work. And the same thing I think would happen had they put Reggie in there. I just feel like it would have been a weird flow as well. But going with Caron was a smart decision by Brooks. I think he probably will be the starter the rest of the playoffs. But who knows? They haven't announced anything yet, so I don't know if you guys have seen anything or have any expectations.
I think Brooks said that that's who he's going with going forward.
Okay.
So, which makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, you struggle game, you know, from games 2 to 5 with the lineup you have, and then you win 6 and 7. It would be very frustrating to see him go back to that lineup that wasn't really working. And speaking of the guys that are not offensively inclined, Kendrick Perkins, he was 2 for 2 last night, so let's not go crazy. But also let's go crazy, because he had both of his shots were in the post. Again, real basketball moves on Marc Gasol, and they look really nice. I don't know that he can replicate them ever again, but you know, let's celebrate a little bit that Kendrick Perkins looked good.
I have been so happy with the way he's played.
Yeah.
He has just gone above and beyond my expectations, and I hope of a lot of people's expectations. I mean, I feel like he's, you know, loving life right now. Like, just having – I just feel like a lot of what that first series did for a lot of people was give them a lot of confidence. And I think that's what we were lacking and what we really needed. Perk, with that last minute shot that won us – or got us into overtime or won us the game, whichever it was. Reggie Jackson, Caron Butler. I mean, these are people who we need to be feeling good. And I feel like this first series, the way it ended, they all leave better than they were when the series started.
Yeah, I agree. Perk has looked really good out on the court, and I've been pleased with the things he's done. Still, statistically, he's 4 points and 5 rebounds per game, but he's looked really good. I'm excited for this next round. I'm ready to see exciting up and down basketball. I was tired of watching that Memphis series, and Taylor had talked about that even before the series started, that he was not looking forward to that series. And that was a hard-fought series. I mean, I don't know if they will have another series that is that grueling as far as going into so many overtimes and having to play a completely different style of basketball. Being in their head so much.
And one of the biggest things for me is we get to avoid the Durant MVP. You know, like,
yes,
we don't have to have him accepted at a press conference. You know, like, he's going to be able to do it in front of the crowd. Probably, I mean, maybe Wednesday, maybe tomorrow, probably Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, that is just a weight off the entire team, I think.
Yeah.
Because not only would it be on Durant, I think the whole team would just be sick if that happened. And I think that they maybe were worried about that some after game 5.
I think you're right. I think they were worried about just I think they let it just become too much.
Yeah.
They got beat up a little bit in game 2. They thought they probably could walk by the Grizzlies. When it started going backwards, they started just kind of stressing a little bit too much about it. Started having fun game 6 and 7, and you obviously saw the results of that. So, we have any more Twitter questions?
Yes, we have one from Zach Boyd. Was turning the series around really as simple as benching Thomas Efolosha? I think it was part of it, but I think the biggest part of it was the reemergence of the confidence of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook more than anything. And Durant even came out and said yesterday that he thought that the media helped him, basically, even though it wouldn't admit it before, that they did kind of push him a little bit. With that headline as Mr. Unreliable. So, I mean, that whole storyline is very interesting and funny and kind of weird if you have read or listened to anything the Oklahoman has put out afterwards, that, you know, Barry Trammell said that he didn't know about the headline until the next morning when somebody called him and said, you know, what the heck is this about? Which is all kind of very strange to me. I know I don't understand their business, but it still doesn't – everything just seems really – strange and weird with that situation. But I do think that we've talked in length about Caron Butler already, but I do think that Thomas Efolosha shooting 28% from three. He's shooting 36% from the floor. You know, he's not shooting the ball with confidence. He's the only thing he's doing with confidence on the offensive end is pump faking. So I don't know. I do think that that was very key. I don't know. This may be Tabo's kind of exit for the Thunder. If he doesn't really get in these games anymore, I could see him just being done.
And it what it does is it was one more thing that freed up Durant and Russ to have a little more space to play their game. And that's what you saw. Like, when people can cheat off of Tabo by 4 feet, you know, well, it's pretty much useless having him on the court.
Yep. And Caron will be good because he can, when they maybe try to switch, he can switch off onto guys like Blake Griffin. And,
yeah.
And he, I mean, Blake is going to probably kill him still, but he's going to give up a lot less than a guy like Tabo would because he's just that much bigger. And a guy like Jeremy Lamb, too, people are still talking about wanting Jeremy Lamb in the game, Jay. But he would give up a lot on any switch, really.
Yeah. I mean, you just watch. Remember when P.J. Tucker just backed him down to oblivion, you know?
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. Anytime that P.J. Tucker is included on any sort of oblivion on the offensive end, you know you're in trouble.
Which is funny, because Caron's not really a two, like, in generally speaking. He's definitely a three, you know? So the expectation for Lamb to do that, but he just fits on this team because you have so many guys that can play every position on the court. Like,
exactly.
Durant's a two through four and really can even probably play a little one. And Russ is a one and can almost play, you know, a three almost. Mm-hmm. It's just they can all defend and play every position. And so it's just insane.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if what changes in this next round. But I'm excited.
I've got a question.
Okay.
For you guys, for this last series, what was your favorite moment?
Oh gosh.
I can go first.
Go ahead.
That, and it wasn't even a game that we won. It was at the game where Kevin Durant had the 4-point play there at the end.
Yeah.
I just thought that was awesome. I almost had a seizure when it happened. It was unexpected, and I just loved it. That was my favorite one moment.
I would say that, you know, games 3 and 4 were very exciting, but they were so stressful. I don't know how much I really enjoyed it when it all came down to it, mostly because they lost. But I think I really enjoyed seeing Kevin Durant come out in game 6 and Russell Westbrook come out in game 6 and this team come together and play like we know that they can play. Because I felt like I was waiting and waiting and kept saying, oh, that's not going to happen again. It's not going to happen again. And it had been 3 games in a row that they had just played so poorly and they only won one of them. And I was ready to just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And so I think the most enjoyable game for me was game 6 because I didn't have any doubts that they were going to win after that. And then we haven't even talked about this, but the suspension of Zach Randolph was another thing that just confirmed to me that the Thunder were going to win game 7. He punches Steven Adams in the face. And I think one of the reasons why he wasn't thrown out of the game is that Adams acted like nothing happened, just like he does every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times I feel like the refs know when to throw somebody out just by the reactions that the other players give.
Yeah.
And he didn't give it. He didn't give it to him. So I think
question, who makes that decision? Is it like a ref committee like that rewatches it? Does Adam Silver go into that at all?
No, there's a guy who his name has left me. He used to be a GM actually.
I think
for like the Sixers and the Nets or somebody. And that's his job, is to oversee those type of things and give those sanctions and fines and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just feel like, because it came like right on the heels of that. Did you guys talk about that Adam Silver press conference last podcast?
We did a little bit.
We touched on it, yeah.
I mean, it was...
We're so over that conversation that it's just we all kind of avoided it.
Yeah, but I feel like it... I mean, I feel like he's empowered. Like, that's a pretty ballsy move to take out Zach Randolph, you know, for the game.
Mm-hmm. And historically, the league... If you hit somebody in the head, you're gone for a game.
Yep.
At least one.
Yeah.
And maybe two, depending on how malicious it looked.
Yeah.
So if you hit somebody in the head, you know, you're gone. If you hit somebody like in the chest or in the back or something, you know, they'll
Shove them.
Yeah, they'll let it go.
Yeah.
But they're not going to mess around with people getting head injuries.
Yeah.
And they're very strict on that. When we saw DeJuan Blair get suspended for a game for kicking somebody in the head and then punching somebody in the head. I mean, that's just kind of the way that the league is, which is very smart.
Yeah.
You don't want to set a precedent of that being okay.
That's true. But that was huge. That's when I was like, this, it's like, we're going to do this. Like that was just a big, moment that like, I thought Taylor, that was when I first heard about it. Cause Taylor texted us in our little, group text.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was joking.
Yeah. I saw Royce Young tweet about that and I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Like what is somebody hack his account or is this like a fake Daily Thunder account? Like what is going on here?
Yeah.
But then, you know, you look back at the play and you're like, oh, okay, well that makes sense. But I did not see that coming. I don't know of anyone that saw that coming. And it changed the series. I mean, I do think that Memphis still might have had a chance with Zubo in there, but with him out, you know, Gasol can only carry the offense for, you know, small stretches of time, which he showed. But I'm so glad to not play that
over,
Memphis team
I'm
ever
just
again.
Over that series.
Oh, okay. Last question.
I'm so glad it's behind us because I thought I was ready. I was done. I was ready to. What can we do to fire everybody? And I'm just glad that my pessimism is has no reasoning anymore.
The Thunder narrowly escaped the Grizzlies, and they've come out as a completely different team and a better team for it. And I do think the Thunder needed to go through that in order to, you know, press on and, you know, maybe eventually make it to the finals. I think they needed to do that. I think that it pressed Brooks, it pressed Durant, it pressed Westbrook, it pressed that whole team to get to a different level. And I do think that ultimately the best thing for this team was to play that Memphis team who was mentally stronger than they were going into the series. I believe that wholeheartedly, but I don't think that that's the case anymore. Last question is from Bobby Wheat. Bobby Wheat, we love you. You're the man. he says, has Russ reached a new level mentally, and can anyone beat the Thunder if they, Russ and KD, play like they did in Game 6 and 7? I'll piggyback on that Brian Windhorst article in that the Thunder have emerged as the favorite if they play like that. I don't think there's anybody out there that can beat them if they are playing that well and shooting that well and sharing the ball and playing like a team and playing, you know, possibly the best defense of anybody in the league. I don't think that there's a team out there that can beat them if they play like that. And the question becomes, can they play like that every game? I don't know. I think we're going to find out against, you know, the Clippers. I think the Clippers are going to be another really big test. This isn't a team that's going to fall over. When the Thunder hit them in the mouth, they're going to come right back at them. So it's going to be interesting. But I do think that there's nobody else better when they're at the top of their game.
I think you're right. I mean, if they play like they did in Game 6 and 7, and it's not a place that Russ has never been. It's just the reminder of where he has been and where he can go. You know, and a lot of it comes from, I think that there is a, we don't like to talk about it, but there is a reality that it was hard for him to trust his players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't do anything to earn it either. You know, it's not like he was just not trusting them. They weren't hitting shots early, and as he began to trust them more and they began to come together better as a team, you saw some incredible, incredible point guard display from him. And so I think they absolutely could be the favorites. And if they play like this, they have a really good chance to do some great things.
Yeah. And for a guy who, quote unquote, is not a point guard, he has tied the record for the most assists for the Thunder / Supersonics. He tied Nate McMillan last night for most assists in a game. So everyone who still thinks he's not a point guard, just listen to that and listen to that stat and watch his game last night. If you still don't think he's a point guard, rewatch last night's game. And I know he doesn't play like that every game, and there's a lot of games that he shouldn't play like that because he needs to have the ball in his hands more, but just watch that game. We have a few iTunes reviews. I said I would read them on the podcast.
Yes.
One from Ball Above All. DTD is one of my favorite NBA podcasts. These guys bring on guests from the media, and they are quite knowledgeable themselves. There are games, and every episode is entertaining. That was very nice, Ball Above All. Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Next review is from It's Ya Boyd. This podcast does not disappoint. Thunder fan or not, you need to give him a listen. These guys can go from hilarious comedy to serious debates. So in other words, they can do it all. 10 out of 10. Hey, it's your boy. Thank you. That's so nice. And then Jake the Snake 96. Seriously, if you love the Thunder or just basketball talk in general, this is the podcast for you. And he dubs us the best Thunder podcast out there. Hey, Jake the Snake 96, thank you so much. That's so nice.
So nice. So nice. Yes.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Are either of you miffed or peeved about anything?
I guess the only thing that I was really miffed about was the Steven Adams tech last night. Because it was undeserving. And I think that the refs just, that ref that gave him that technical just didn't really know what to do with Steven Adams. And he probably wanted to see if he could actually get mad. And maybe that's the only reason he gave it to him, just to see if Steven Adams had emotions or if this was actually a robot on the court and that they needed to escort off. But I think that's it.
He just was standing there and Gasol actually walked into him.
Yeah. It was like a non-thing. It wasn't a real thing.
I was so miffed the other day, but I don't know what it was about. Now Thunder win, and I'm not miffed anymore. Thank you. You couldn't
have been that miffed.
I was pretty miffed, but I don't know what I was miffed about. If I remember, I'll text you guys. But
do let us know.
So the next game, is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow
Monday.
Guys.
We got no break,
and I don't want one. I love it.
It's so good. I'm so excited for this Clipper series. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We earned it after this.
Yes.
This long, hard-fought series.
It's over, and we start the new one. It's going to be fun. Do we want to make any predictions?
Oh, we have to.
All right, what do you think?
Thunder in 7.
Oh, my gosh. I can't do 7 games again.
Just for you, Jay. No, I respect the Clippers. I respect Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and most importantly, Doc Rivers. So, Thunder in 7. Thunder bring it back to their home court. Game 7. Blow out the Clippers. Head to the Western Conference Finals.
All right. I'll go Thunder in 7.
Guys, I'll go Thunder in 6 just to be different. But it's going to be – I'm excited about it.
It's going to be a close series. It's going to be fun basketball, though.
Yeah.
You want to talk Indiana plays somebody? Oh, the Wizards. What's your prediction there? Because that game starts tomorrow. We may not be able to talk about it.
I've got the Pacers in 7.
I'll go Pacers in 6.
I go Zards in 7.
Dang.
I like the Zards right now.
Back in Indy for game 7.
They could do it. I like them.
Well, I just think Roy Hibbert has way more purpose this series than he has. The team has way more. I have a good feeling about the Pacers. So
yeah, the Pacers.
Plus, I was reminded the year that Boston. I always forget about this. The year that Boston won the championship. What year was that?
2008.
They play the first series against Atlanta, and Atlanta takes them to 7, and they win Game 7 in blowout fashion, very similar to the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think a first round definitely doesn't always mean that, you know, they're going to be falling apart.
Yeah. So
that's what I'm thinking.
So
I have another question.
Okay.
What's your favorite non-Thunder team in the playoffs right now?
Portland.
Portland's mine too. I love that team. They're great.
Yeah, I think it has to be Portland. They've been the most fun, and it's been unexpected for them to play so well. Most people pick the Rockets to win, not us three. We all pick Portland. But
At the end of that game, Damian Lillard picked up the mic, and they said he wants to be a rapper and actor.
Oh, yeah?
Is that true?
Dude, he's in commercials.
But that doesn't mean he wants to be a rapper or actor.
I think that's exactly what that means.
That's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what is good, though, is that that commercial he has with Karl Malone and Chris Webber and Barry Sanders and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
It's awesome.
That's pretty good. All right. Well, I think that's all we got.
Are we not going to predict the other series?
Well, I didn't think we haven't set the other series, and they don't start till Tuesday. Let's do it.
Brooklyn, Miami.
Go.
Miami in five.
Gosh, Miami in five. I'm with you. I'm not just copying Andrew. I'm just.
I want to see. I would like it to be Miami in seven.
But that is also
what I'm going to guess.
All right. Miami in seven. I like it. So it'll be, and then the last one will be probably San Antonio versus Portland.
So San Antonio, Portland, who would you pick?
Portland in six.
Whoa. Really?
No. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it because I'm tired of picking all the favorites, but yeah. Why not?
Okay. I mean, I like
it. Portland in six. I'm sticking with it. Go with it.
I say San Antonio in five.
Yeah, I'm about to say it'll be San Antonio sweep. I don't know, man. Dallas gave them fits, dude. Dallas took them to seven. Why not?
A team that's a
better version of Dallas in Portland.
I'm with a lot of other people in the world right now, in that I'm not picking against the Spurs until they're gone.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're gonna say that, and then after this airs and gets posted, Dallas is gonna come back.
Gonna beat them. Well, let's predict the Dallas. Let's predict a Dallas Portland series just to make us look dumb.
Portland in five.
Portland in seven.
Here's mine. Dallas or San Antonio, regardless, Portland in six.
Whoa. You love the Trailblazers. I always have for the Trailblazers.
They were showing on the last time the Trailblazers got past the first round, it was in this team. And I just started, I can name every person on that team. The 2000 Trailblazers. I love that team. Right before they were the Jailblazers.
Detlef
Schrempf, man. Arvydas Sabonis.
Damon Stoudemire.
Scott Pippen.
Was Bonzi Wells on that team?
Bonzi Wells was on that team, and so was Brian Grant.
Yes, Brian Grant.
And was Steve Smith, or was he out that year? Did he retire by then?
No, he was on that team.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. And Rasheed Wallace?
Dude, Rasheed was so good.
Yeah.
That was a really good team.
Man, I loved that team.
But... Jay and I's Lakers were too much for them to handle at that point.
Yep, they couldn't handle it. Even though they're up 16 in game seven, they just still couldn't handle it.
Dude, the vets. Crafty vets.
Crafty, get out of here with your crafty vet crap.
Dude, our crafty vets just got us to the second round.
I mean, one crafty vet did. Well, Perk, I guess. Fisher was not very good in that first round, by the way.
Agreed.
Anyway, that's all I got. I don't really care, but you see, was it the end?
He'll have a game where he hits five threes, though.
I know. He'll make it all worth it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, do we got anything else?
Happiness.
It's great. Joy. It was great. It was a great.
You cut out. You said happy.
Happiness. That was it. I didn't cut out.
Okay. if you got some questions, tweet at us. If you see us on the street, ask us our question there. We'll answer it.
If you know who we are on the street, then you're going to surprise me.
I'm constantly on the streets.
Andrew's just roaming the streets looking for questions.
Follow us on Twitter at DDD Podcast. Look for us online, downthedunk.com. Thanks for listening. We'll check you next time. The easiest to say.